Well, hello, you good people. My name is Robert Ferguson. I'm one of the Hillsong team in Sydney and Australia. And it's my privilege to speak to you today on this Hillsong Denmark and Malmo podcast called This Is Us. If you're listening to this and you want a short title for the message to keep you focused, it is called It Is Not Convenient. Many people ask me over the last few years, what books have most affected my life? I've been a Christian now for 48 years and have been a full-time preacher for nearly 45 years. And I would say three books have changed me radically. Number one, of course, the Bible, to which I'm going to refer today. Number two, a short book by Christopher Jameson called Finding Sanctuary, which I highly recommend. And then the third book, which I want to refer to today, called The Biography of James Hudson Taylor by Howard Taylor. When I first became a Christian in 1974, someone gave me this book and encouraged me to read it. It's quite an old-fashioned book. It's about a 19th century missionary to China called James Hudson Taylor. He was a doctor, and he gave everything to serving God in China. Two stories stood out for me in the book that have been formative in the whole of my Christian walk. The first relates to his calling, which is my subject today, and the second relates to his evangelism. When he was a young man, he wanted to know what God wanted him to do. And so he lay down on the ground in his father's warehouse in Scotland and called out to God and asked him over and over again, what is it that you want me to do with my life? After a long time of seeking God, God spoke to him and said, go for me to China. Go for me to China. Five words that radically changed his life. His mother wrote after that event that everything in his life was committed to that one thing. Everything. His choices, his relationships, his commitment, his life. Five words completely and utterly changed his life. He pretty much gave up everything and went to China. Within a few years, he had 1,000 missionaries working under him. He started the China Inland Mission, and its legacy in China is immeasurable. That whole concept of being radically changed by a call grabbed my attention. I wanted to know exactly what that was in my life. But there was another story that also caught my imagination. When he went to China, he was on a boat taking a journey from one port to another, and a man on the boat fell overboard. And the man started drowning. He couldn't swim. So Hudson Taylor shouted to the local fisherman that he saw in a nearby boat, please save the man. And the fisherman, who could easily have thrown a net into the water and immediately saved the man, shouted back, Wei Bin, forgive my Chinese pronunciation, but it means it is not convenient. They would not save the man because it wasn't convenient for them. They were involved in their own activities. They were fishing. He, of course, shouted back. He pleaded with them, offering them money. Finally, he said, I will give you all my money. Please save the man. Eventually, they reluctantly threw their nets into the water and pulled the dead man from the water. They could have saved his life, but it was not convenient. Those two stories totally captivated me. Number one, I wanted to find my calling. Number two, I would never use convenience as an excuse to stop me saving people or allowing Jesus, more accurately, to save people. In other words, I was going to do everything in my power to see people come to faith in Christ. This whole attitude to calling is one that I think should be looked at with greater scrutiny today, because I think we have committed ourselves to our own opinions, our own responsibilities, our own likes, our own thoughts, our own strengths, instead of thinking about what God wants in our life and what we should do for other people. Jesus, of course, summarized the whole of the Old Testament in these two statements: love God and love people. Both of the stories in Hudson Taylor's book were about those things. He loved God enough to want to know what God wanted him to do, and loved people enough to want to commit to seeing them saved. If you look through the Bible, you find that there are two types of calling, and I'm being general here, but we find them both in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, verses 1 and 2, and verse 9. Let me read it to you. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Then in verse 9, it says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In those three verses, we discover there are two basic kinds of callings. There is a general call and a specific call. Each one of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ have a general call. Firstly, verse 9, we're called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us. God has chosen us out of anonymity, called us even though we didn't deserve it, called us into fellowship. Sharing in common with, that's what the word fellowship means, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only are we called into relationship with Jesus Christ, we're called to be holy. The Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, says, be holy as I am holy. That's God's demand, his mandate, his calling. Be holy as I am holy. We cannot have the relationship or the fellowship with God that we need unless we fulfill that general calling. We're called into sharing everything in common, including his holiness. But then there's a specific calling. Paul was called to be an apostle, called to do something for God. So there's the two challenges in our life. You and I are called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which requires us to be holy, and we have been given a specific calling. Our problem is we find that we're doing what we want and not what God wants, and we're doing what we want and not what people need. So I think we need to change. In this day and age, we have chosen three things that I think should be challenged. Firstly, we've chosen convenience rather than commitment. We've chosen convenience rather than commitment. Especially in the last couple of years when we weren't able to gather together in fellowship and fulfill our responsibilities, we stayed at home. Often, we didn't even bother to change. A lot of people bought or stayed in their pajamas throughout the day. If they did go to church, they joined online, and thank God for that ability to connect with people online. But the fact is, they chose convenience over commitment. Many people found it incredibly convenient. You didn't have to join church until 30 seconds before the service started, often 20 minutes after the service had started. If you wanted to get a coffee during the message, you could just get up, make yourself a coffee. In other words, it was immensely convenient. It required no commitment whatsoever. You didn't need to serve. You didn't need to have a conversation. You didn't need to talk. And of course, when COVID finished and we were able to join together, and of course, I don't know exactly the rules in Denmark, but the principle is when it came for the opportunity to be gathered together again, people stayed at home because it was convenient. It was convenient to stay at home. It's convenient not to go to church. It's convenient to go to one service. It's convenient not to serve. It's convenient not to get up. I became a Christian, as I said, in 1974, and I made a decision to go to church. So this Sunday, whatever Sunday it is, this Sunday, I will be going to church. I didn't make the decision or won't make the decision this Sunday. I made it 45 years ago. I decided that whether it's convenient or not, I will go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. Many times I don't feel like it. Many times I don't want to do it. Many times I'm feeling tired. Many times I'd rather not go. But I have chosen commitment over convenience. Why? Because James Hudson Taylor and the Bible taught me that we are called into fellowship. We're called to be holy. We're called to fulfill a role. So this generation, I think, needs to choose commitment over convenience. The second thing, many of us have chosen comfort over cost. Hudson Taylor, when he went to China, lost his wife, lost a couple of his children, lost a measure of his health, lost a lot of his reputation, lost many of his friends. But he counted the cost, as Luke 14 says, all disciples must do, and he chose cost over comfort. It's an interesting thing. The English language often changes over the years. The word comfortable used to mean the ability to be comforted. So if someone was comfortable, they had the capacity to be comforted by someone else or something else. But now it means the ability to comfort yourself. In other words, it's changed its meaning from what others can do for me or what God can do for me to what I can do for myself. And it strikes me that that is a real problem in this day and age. Hudson Taylor chose commitment over convenience. He chose cost over comfort. What about you? Are you choosing what is convenient in your life? Are you choosing what costs you less? Or are you choosing to do God's will? In this third thought, in this world, I suspect that we have chosen choice, personal choice, over divine calling. We do what we want. We do what our strengths are, what feels good, what authenticates us, instead of doing what God tells us to do. In the story of Hudson Taylor, there's no sense of God, I will do this for you if I feel like it, if it's good for me. He said, what do you want me to do? And I will do it. As Jesus put it in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. I don't find Paul on the Damascus Road saying, well, I'll do what you want as long as it suits my background or suits my opinions or suits my gifts. As soon as God saved him, he fell on his face and he said, what do you want me to do? That's something I think this generation needs to do. Billy Graham, one of the great gospel preachers of the 20th century, said, I don't preach because I want to or because I choose to. He says, I'm under orders. I do it because I've been told to do it. A lot of people assume that what I do is based on my likes, my personal gifts. But the fact is, when God called me to be a preacher, I didn't choose that. I was like Jonah. I ran away. God says, I want you to be a preacher. And I said, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want anything to do with preaching. I don't like crowds. I don't like public speaking. And I love biology. I want to be a biologist. But God arrested me while teaching biology, while I was teaching people about the structure of a leaf. And God spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you today. He said to me, as he said to Elijah, what are you doing? And I replied, well, I'm telling them about a leaf. And he said, well, you should be telling them about me. That day changed everything, as Hudson Taylor's calling changed everything for him. That day was the end of my career in biology. There's nothing wrong with having a career in biology as long as that's what God wants you to do. But the fact is, you've got to make a decision that you do what God wants you to do. That day in the biology classroom, I made a decision that I was going to tell people about him. That was in 1977. And here am I in 2022 doing exactly what he told me to do. I, as Paul said in the book of Acts, have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. So as I draw this thought to a conclusion, this thought where we say it is not convenient, this thought about calling, where we need to choose commitment over convenience, cost over comfort, calling over personal choice. Here are three thoughts that I'd like to leave you with. Firstly, every one of us has an assigned task. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says very clearly, and verse 5, that each one of us has an assigned task. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, what is Paul? What is Apollos? Only servants. Many of us are boasting about our particular abilities and our particular skills. But here's Paul saying, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. So he's saying, I had a role, Apollos had a role, but God made things grow. It's all about what God wants you to do. So you've got an assigned task. Well, do you know what it is? Have you done what Hudson Taylor did and get down on your knees and ask God, what do you want me to do? I did. He told me and I ran away like Jonah, but he brought me back and then told me again. Maybe you've done what I did. Maybe you've run away. So either you need to discover your assigned task or you need to return to your assigned task. Either way, you need to give everything to finding that task. Paul put it like this in the book of Philippians chapter 3. He said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus Christ has taken hold of us for something. We need to discover what it is and then commit ourselves to it. What a tragedy it would be if I got to heaven and Jesus said to me, did you do what I said? And I say, well, what was that? I hope that won't be my story, or indeed yours. Have you discovered and are you fulfilling your task? The second thing I'd like to say is that that task requires duty. Now, in today's generation, no one talks about duty. But in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul says, I've fulfilled my duty. Duty has nothing to do with personal choice. Duty has nothing to do with personal opinion. Duty has nothing to do with feelings. Duty is nothing to do with, well, I don't feel like or don't want to do it today. Duty is something you are required to do. In Luke chapter 17 and verses 7 to 10, Jesus tells a parable that I don't think many of us have talked about or preached on recently. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. We live in a world that we don't like being told what to do. We don't like being in second place. And we certainly don't like people failing to thank us for what we do. And yet here is Jesus saying that our assigned task is our duty. We shouldn't expect to feel good about it. We shouldn't expect thanks for it. We are doing our duty. I'm talking today. The fact is, I'm enjoying it, to be honest. But I'm not doing it because I enjoy it. I'm doing it because God told me to tell people about him. So every one of you has got an assigned task. Every one of us has to fulfill our duty. And the final thing I want to say is that this duty is a privilege. It's a privilege. Many years ago, I heard about a missionary called Bruce Olson who went through absolutely incredible suffering in order to fulfill his calling to work among the Motolone Indians in South America. I haven't time to you to tell his story, but I recommend that you find out. Bruce Olson. Anyway, one day, one of his friends who I met asked him whether serving God was too much of a sacrifice because he'd lost so much in serving God. And this was his answer. Sacrifice? Sacrifice? That's the wrong word. It's been a privilege. I suspect that's what Hudson Taylor would have said. It's certainly what I would say. So as I draw this to a conclusion, this simple podcast, it is not convenient. Can I suggest that you and I get down on our knees and discover once again, if we've already done it before, what it is that God wants us to do? And if you've never done it before, why don't you find out for the first time? And you might hear a phrase like, go and work among the Motolone Indians. Or go for me to China. Or in my case, what are you doing? You should be telling them about me. And then when you hear those words, why don't you just go and live it? Not because it is convenient, not because it is comfortable, not because it's your personal choice, but why don't you and I have the same attitude of Jesus when he said, not my will, but yours be done. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to This Is Us podcast. Whether you listen to them as an individual or as a team, we hope that they add value to you. Make sure to click follow or subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Thank you for joining us. We are who we are. This is us.